Isn't that demented? That a grown man's happiness depends on whether a 9-year-old catches a pop-up? I mean, what if he missed?
But he didn't.
But he could have.
But he didn't.
But he could have.
But he didn't, Gil. You threw him 12 million pop-ups in the backyard. You cut the odds considerably. If he hadn't, ow! Ow!
But there's 3 of them. And you want to have 4. And then the 4th one could be Larry. And they're going to do a lot of things. I mean, baseball's the least of it. And in all those things, sometimes they're going to miss.
Sometimes they won't.
Sometimes they will. Sometimes they will.
What do you want me to give you? Guarantees? These are kids, not appliances. Life is messy.
I hate messy. It's so messy.
You know, when I was 19, Grandpa took me on a roller coaster.
Oh?
Up, down, up, down. Oh, what a ride.
What a great story.
I always wanted to go again. You know, it was just interesting to me that a ride could make me so frightened, so scared, so sick, so excited, and so thrilled all together. Some didn't like it. They went on the merry-go-round. That just goes around. Nothing. I like the roller coaster. You get more out of it.
I can appreciate Grandma's attitude in that clip. She rode the roller coaster, said she was frightened, scared, sick, excited, and thrilled all within a few minutes. And her obvious analogy was about this roller coaster we call life. Life can have all those feelings and emotions, sometimes in the same day. And when we look back and survey the history of our lives, I think the first thing we think about is the big moments in our lives, the exciting ones, the scary ones, the thrilling moments. And we all have those moments. And we all have the everyday mundane events of our life as well that make up our history of our life. And scattered among the everyday moments of life are the daily decisions we make. And we all do them on a daily basis. We make these decisions from the simple, what are we going to eat, to the difficult decisions that have potential for a big impact in our lives. And like he said in the clip, life can be messy, can be challenging. And all of us have been at a crossroad in our life at one time or another. And the times where we needed to make a decision, an important decision, and we needed wisdom to make the right decision. Some of our choices have been good ones, others not so much. There's an old expression, too soon old, too late smart. It's a nice expression with a ring of truth to it, but getting older doesn't necessarily mean getting smarter. And being smart can be book knowledge, but that's not always wisdom. And the reality is we need wisdom on a daily basis, not just when we're faced with major life decisions, but really we want to function in wisdom. And as we move forward in this thing called life, there'll be many times in the weeks and months ahead that we need to call on wisdom. And the question is not so much, will we call on wisdom, but will wisdom answer? At times we get wisdom and knowledge confused. They go hand in hand, but there's a big difference. And the good news is that wisdom is attainable to every one of us. You just have to know the source and how to apply it. Knowledge is one thing. Wisdom is the application of that knowledge. There's a true story of a man that was fired, and he sued his company. And his suit claimed he was fired because he complained about the company's safety standard. So they did an investigation, and the truth came out. He was fired because he rubbed poison ivy in the boss's toilet seat. Certainly not a wise decision. Funny, maybe. At least not to everybody but the boss, but not wise. And an individual can be very learned, very smart, but not be able to apply wisdom in their lives. I've known some people that were brilliant, but they just didn't make good decisions in their personal life. And for the believer, it's like being a hearer of the word and not being a doer of the word. You're not applying the wisdom of God in your life. And there are times in our life when we're faced with a difficult decision and we have no clue what to do. We're just not sure. Then there are times where there's several options and they all seem plausible. And how do we handle it? And what do we do with these? And so this desperate need for wisdom. And you would think that after a while we'd get the hang of this life and make better choices, better decisions, have all the right answers. But it doesn't seem like we do that all that often. There's an old friend of mine that had a saying. He said, we're supposed to learn something new every day. I'm so far behind, I'll never get caught up. That was his expression. And I think perhaps the Word of God can help us with that. James gives us this wonderful prescription for wisdom. James 1 and verse 2 and following. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's an incredibly interesting passage. And at first blush, it looks like James is kind of bouncing around here. First, he's talking about trials. King James says temptations, and it's an accurate translation, both. In fact, as you work through James, it talks about trials and temptation, and they're both accurate. And understanding, I think, simply is that if you would say that trials can sometimes be that the difficulties from out, the temptations are the difficulties and the challenges from in, but both of them require wisdom. And he's talking about trials and temptation, and then he shifts to this thing, wisdom. And it's like, what's he bouncing around? If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But it's really not too hard to understand. Any serious trial or temptation is going to require wisdom in order to navigate it. In fact, it's often in the trials of our life that we need to make important decisions. We need to make decisions and have wisdom about what to do in the midst of the trial. And contextually here, James is telling us that this testing of our faith in this time will develop us, develop our patience, develop our maturity. And he starts out with, my brothers, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And the understanding there is, it's like trials can just happen. You fall into them at times. That's the understanding of the word here. It's the same wording in the scripture when the thief fell amongst, the individual fell amongst some thieves. It just happened. And so we create our own trials for sure. And sometimes we just have trials and difficulties in our life that we fall into. So count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Count it all joy. I don't know about you, but I think I need wisdom to understand that count it all joy part. When these trials hit, we don't automatically respond in joy, and I don't think, and we'll see in a moment, that's not really what the Scripture's saying, respond in joy because of the trial. But James really has a theme here. He starts out in verse 1 here. James, a bondservant of God, interestingly enough, as a side note, no extra charge for this, but James, most believe the author of James, was the brother of Jesus. And now he went from, you know, really when he was younger, the Scripture says he really doubted, and now he went from believing him so much that he's a bondservant. He's just sold out to the Messiah. A bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. And I have a space here in greetings, and a lot of your Bibles will have a space in there specifically. Greetings is a very important expression at that time, and it was given, they believe, in the letter, I suppose, this space because it had an impact. James is bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And these are, so believing the believers that have been scattered, many believe that the stoning of Stephen when the church started to scatter. And so these people are under a trial, left homes and they're scattered and they're in a trial. greetings. And the original language for greetings meant rejoice, joy, hail. It's a primary verb to be full of cheer, that is calmly happy or well off. It was an ancient greeting of health and prosperity. It's accurately translated Godspeed in 2 John. And so this expression captured their attention. It was an expression of the day. They very well understood it. So you that are having a trial, greetings is what he's saying. Moffat links verse 1 and 2 by the saying greetings is greeted as pure joy when you fall into many trials. You first read this, you might think about where he's writing to these people that are scattered. They're having a trial. They're having a difficult time in their life. And it's almost like that guy that shows up when something is tragic, and he just seems to go, oh, bless God, praise God. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know that guy, oh, give God the glory. And you think, you don't have a clue what I'm going through here. It almost seems like that, but as we look through it, no, James isn't saying that at all. He's not that guy. He's got this here. He understands it. And he's telling him there's a purpose and a plan of God's that will create great joy in your life as you work through it. And obviously he doesn't mean joy in the trial themselves, because that's not scripturally accurate. Or he's not saying the only Christian joy we have is in trials. And as I said, the word joy here means ground of rejoicing, as when the scripture says in good news of great joy. And so there's joy to be known that God will produce in you wonderful things. But here's the kicker. Once you receive knowledge of the Word of God, you grow in the knowledge of the Word of God, it will be tested for a purpose. Corinthians tells us knowledge alone puffs up while love builds up. And this trying of your faith should put you in the category of the doer of the word. I'm being tried. I'm going to participate in the word of God and not be a hearer only. I said it should. But we have a choice of how we respond in these trials. And when you're not sure, because the truth is, a lot of trials, we're just not sure, you ask God for wisdom. Now, certainly, when we work through this morning, there is a wisdom that God is promising us when we're going through a challenge. But it's applicable to anything you need wisdom in God. I mean, a lot of times I need wisdom just to make a decision, or sometimes just how to do something. You know, we just need wisdom. And so it's applicable to trials, but it's applicable to any time you need wisdom. And when you're not sure, you ask God for wisdom. And the joy comes in the outcome of the trial when we involve God in it. So verse 2 again, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Mature, complete, lacking nothing. Now, we all desire to be mature in the Lord. That's one of the reasons we're here this morning. We want to be known, and we want to be mature in God. We want to be, I don't know, we're going to reach perfection, but we want this maturity. We want the fullness of the knowledge of God, and it's available to us. But Scripture is saying that it's going to take some testing and trials along the way to perfect it and to perfect God's character in you. It's one of those things, you know, I wish you could just get it watching a video, you know, but sometimes you got to go through something. And what God does in your life in it. And so we're looking at this and saying, well, if I'm really going to be mature, I guess I'm going to have to go through some trials. So our first response is, no thanks, forget it. I'll hang out where I'm at for right now, slow and easy. That's my motto. I don't need all this. That's our first response, and that might be a choice, but there's a problem with it. Trials are going to come whether we choose it or not. We really don't have a choice in the matter. That's when we involve God and His Word that the growth and the maturity and the wisdom come. Verse 5 again. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God gives, not will give, but he gives. Not eventually, but he gives. He gives regularly, frequently, generously. He's a giver. He gave his son. God gives. And I love the generous part, the liberally. Without reproach, NIV says, without finding fault. King James says, it shall be given. It's not, oh, you again? How many times are you going to come to me with this? Will you ever stop bugging me about it? It's not that at all. And the wisdom that comes is God's wisdom. Liberally, generously given without hesitation. On God's part, it's his joy. He gladly gives you the wisdom. His desire as you be an overcomer, that you overcome the trial. This world is fallen. You're going to have trials. You're going to create plenty on your own. I've created one or two myself over the years, this week. And, you know, we create these trials and we fall into them. And God says, I want you to be an overcomer. And I delight in giving you my wisdom. Psalms 51 and a couple other psalms say this. Behold, you desire truth, meaning God desires truths in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Father, in my inner man you promise to make me know wisdom. What a wonderful practical application of Psalms. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And really, this fear of the Lord, I mean, we've looked at it in passing, it's this reverence for God, and this fear of knowing, wanting to know God, and submitting your life to him versus the fool that says there is no God. And so the truth is, to function in God's wisdom, it starts by acknowledging him, having the fear of the Lord in your life, knowing a reverence for him. 1:7 of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. What a beautiful scripture. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You know, the Lord that spoke the worlds into existence keeps our world from spinning apart, holds everything together. That Lord, that wisdom. Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. God is saying there's nothing that compares to wisdom. Not riches, not finances, wisdom. 16:16 of Proverbs, how much better to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Just this value that God puts on it. The reality is wisdom lasts eternally. And wisdom will take you right into eternity. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, tells them he's praying for them continually. And then he writes this in 1:17 of Ephesians, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, watch this, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Folks, you can pray that for me anytime you want to. Jot that scripture down, make it a daily habit, praying for Pastor Ron, that I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge in him. We'll pray for you. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? That you'd have the spirit of wisdom, the knowledge of him. And I want you to think about something. Think for a moment, what would your life be like without the tragedy of doubt? Because doubt is a tragedy to me. What would your life be like without the tragedy of doubt? How many times have we doubted and not walked into the things that God had for us? Are we missing his miracles and his presence because we doubted? That's a tragedy. God is a giver of wisdom. His part is to give. Our part is to believe. If we could go through life not doubting, believing God for wisdom. James makes it so clear that God's a giver. James 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So you have to ask in faith, not doubting. And doubting here is not disbelief. Disbelief is I just don't believe. A doubter affirms and then denies. He clings to the promise, but not being very sure that it will be fulfilled. I just doubt this. I mean, I heard the promise, I get it, but I just don't think so. One minute he believes, one the next minute he does not. He suggests the promise of God, then he says no. He gives it to God and he takes it back. And none of us here have ever done that. Maybe not this morning. He's like a wave mounting up to heaven to receive God's promise of wisdom, and then down in the depths, sure, he will not receive it. He's double-minded. He is what I've called in the past a seasick Christian, because he's being tossed back and forth in the waves, and he's being all thrown around. God has promised you wisdom. He desires for you to be victorious in your walk and in your life, and he wants you to have his wisdom, and the truth is it's the only way we're going to get through life victoriously is with his wisdom. And we need to be tenacious in believing him. And actually, where it says, let him ask God, it's what the Greek, in the Greek words, what they call the present tense, it means you ask repeatedly, if need be, that you be tenacious in going after God's wisdom. So I think you can say it means I need to ask until I get an answer, until I know I have it. And you also can say I need to be asking God for his wisdom on a daily basis. I'm going to be in there all the time. Hey, Lord, it's me again. I need some wisdom. Oh, wait, 10 minutes later, you know what? Something else come up. I need wisdom, Lord. Tomorrow morning, hey, Lord, I need wisdom. Repeatedly asking. This is not, it's applicable in the crisis of life, but it's not just the crisis of life wisdom. It's walking in your life with wisdom. Because how much better would your life be and my life be if we walked in God's wisdom daily? We just did it without the tragedy of doubt, the tenacity of going after it. Verse 7 and 8 says, if you don't go after him, believe him, you'll be a double-minded man. You can either be wise or otherwise. It's your choice. A double-minded person desires to love God with all their heart, begins to, and then falls back into the world and the world's way of thinking. Verse 7 says that kind of individual won't receive anything from the Lord, let alone wisdom. God sees his yes one minute and looks ahead to the impatient no, taking the problem back into your own hands. Verse 3 says the testing of your faith develops patience. And patience work is to mature you. Mature and complete, not lacking in anything. The wise individual, full of the things of God. Verse 8 says, a double-minded man, the doubter, is unstable in all his ways. Unstable in everything. The word ways means your conduct, your behavior. Everything about you, when you begin to doubt, becomes unstable. And that's not how we want to go through life. The doubting Christian becomes unstable in every aspect of his life. And it's not good. The doubting Christian may look something like this.
Oh, man.
Kind of a hot day,
you think?
Yeah.
So hot. Oh.
Woo! What? Like 3 months and no rain is called a drought, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, right. What are we doing out here?
Oh, okay, guys. I just thought we should meet and pray for rain.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it can't hurt.
Hey, come on, get on with it, man.
Okay, so join hands. Okay. Prayer works better that way.
Okay.
No, I got air conditioning
all right.
here. All right. Dear God,
Lord,
you could just please make it rain.
Yes, please.
And
please.
Bring something cold to drink.
Oh, like yes. water.
Remember Noah. Because it's so hot.
Yes, it is.
Water, please.
Amen.
Amen.
I think that went well.
Amen.
I pitted out a perfectly good trip for a 10-second prayer.
Thanks for coming out. Okay. I'll see you at the Bible study, Drew.
I'm out of here.
Okay. What are you doing?
Oh, waiting for the rain.
Laura, take a look up there. I want you to see that there's just a blue sky with right. no clouds. I think that means no rain.
Right.
Remember, we just prayed about this. So.
Oh, I know. We just prayed for rain. So, you know, the clouds are going to come and then it's going to rain and you're going to get wet.
Are you new to this whole praying thing?
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Well, let me explain this to you. I wouldn't be counting on the rain.
Oh. Well, maybe it's not the rain you should be counting on.
Hmm.
how many times we believe for a miracle, but we don't get the umbrella out. That's doubting. And I think it's interesting that even receiving God's wisdom is tied to faith. Even knowing his wisdom, getting is tied to faith. Often God's wisdom and direction will seem contrary to what makes sense to us. And that's because we're trying to infuse our understanding with God's wisdom. This is how we see it. And it doesn't line up with God's wisdom, and it becomes confusing to us. I found one of the best prayers is to come to God and say, Lord, this is how I see the circumstance. And this is what I'm thinking. This is where I think I'm going. I don't know if it's wise, but this is where I'm at. Now, you correct me if I need it and help me. That's just acknowledging it. Because, Lord, I know, Lord, that your way can be so much different than mine. And I need God's wisdom. I don't need just my thoughts. That's the whole idea. And we try to infuse our understanding with God's wisdom, it becomes confusing, and we become double-minded, unstable. And the unstable, doubting Christian leaves himself open to increased doubt and increased attacks from the enemy. God speaks of two different kinds of wisdom. And the reality is we have a choice to function in one or the other, and we see it in James chapter 3, verse 13 and following. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. That's an incredible scripture. There's eight characteristics here of false wisdom, ungodly, sensual, earthly, worldly, downright demonic wisdom. Bitter envy, strife in the heart, glory in profession. Verse 14 of James 3 says, and by all means, out of the Living Bible, by all means, don't brag about being wise and good if you're bitter and jealous and selfish. That's the worst sort of lie. Don't make this profession that you're full of God's grace and wisdom when you get all this junk in your heart. Earthly, having this life only in view. Sensual, living only to satisfy the animal appetites is what the wording is there. Devilish, inspired by demons. Confusion, and every evil work or practice and workings of evil. For envy and self-seeking exist. When you're envious, when you bring strife along the way, when you're seeking what you need for yourself, confusion, and every evil work or practice and workings of evil comes your way. You open the door for the demonic one to come in and do anything he can or wants to. I don't want a part of that. And when you're not led by God, you're either going to be led by yourself or, worse yet, led by the devil. That's what the scripture is saying. That's the wisdom of the demonic one. And when you're led by the devil, you will reap of the devil. Not trusting God, not seeking God for wisdom, causes us to fall back into carnality, the only other choice. And this, watch now, there's a contrast. Verse 15 says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Contrast that ungodly, horrible wisdom with the following verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of those by those who make peace. Wisdom from God is pure. Wisdom from God controls your thoughts. It keeps them pure. And we see eight characteristics of divine wisdom. Pure, chaste, holy, peaceable, gentle, considerate, submissive, not stubborn or obstinate, yielding to others, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality and sincere. Pure, chaste, and holy. God's wisdom only has your very best in mind. God's wisdom is righteous and true and pure and holy. Man, that's the kind of wisdom we want to walk in. Peaceable. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The peace of God in his wisdom. Gentle compared to the harsh reality of the fallen world and the demonic's wisdom. Considerable submission, not stubborn or obstinate, but yielding to others. Always forgiving and performing acts of kindness. Full of good fruits, seeking God for wisdom. And as you seek God for wisdom, he'll develop the fruits of the Holy Spirit within you. Without partiality. Scripture tells us God is no respecter of persons, and neither should you be or me be. We need to see people as eternal. And the reality is, we can have a lot of partiality in our life. Some people we like their characteristics, their behavior, just the way we get along with them. We like them. Other people, not so much, right? Some people just rub us the wrong way, whatever that expression is, I suppose. You know what I mean? Some people just get under your skin, all these little things we say. Some people aggravate us. God said he's no respecter of persons. We shouldn't be. Certainly you're going to have some people you're closer to, but we see everybody as made in the likeness and image of God that is due respect, and you function in wisdom towards them. Wisdom from above is sincere, without hypocrisy. It's open, honest, genuine, and true. When we seek God for wisdom, Scripture tells you he will give you wisdom, divine wisdom, allowing you to act in a godly manner. And wisdom from above causes you and me to act as in verse 17. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. God's wisdom will cause you to live in peace, to make the good decisions, to make the right choices. And when you learn to live in peace, you become a peacemaker through God's wisdom. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You know, the extending outcome of God's wisdom is peace. No wonder we count it all joy. When you compare a trial of life, a temptation of life, a challenge of life, the difficulty of life with the peace of God, with the knowledge that you're in his will, with the knowledge despite the circumstances, you're doing and behaving what he's telling you to do, and the depth of knowledge that you hear from your God, your Lord, who promises to speak to you, promises to give you wisdom, there's great peace in that. Circumstances may still be challenging, but that peace of God that goes beyond understanding. We all need wisdom on a continual basis. God's wisdom is the only true wisdom. It's the best wisdom. It's the divine wisdom. Thankfully, he promises to give it to us. And never forget that he said, I'll give it to you abundantly. Without reproach. He doesn't say, well, why didn't you come to me before? How many times have we been guilty of that? If you'd have just listened to me, you know, or what about the I told you so? Huh? How many have heard that? That's what he's saying, I won't say to you. It doesn't matter the mess you've made. You're finally coming and saying, I need it, Lord. I need your wisdom. And he says, fine. I'll give you as much as you need, and I'm not going to chastise for you. What a glorious promise. What a joy to know. And something I think we need to be reminded of. I'd like the worship team to come forward. Colossians 1:9 says this, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you, and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's a beautiful prayer. 1 John 5:14 and following said, now this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So that's a promise. If you ask something in God's will, he promises to give you. We just saw that it's God's will to give you wisdom. So when we ask, he says, I'll give it to you. Proverbs 3:19 and 20, but by wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the depths were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. If he can handle that, I think he can handle my decisions and your decisions. They seem pale in comparison, don't you think? Let's worship our God together. And if you need wisdom for something, now's a great time to begin to ask him. And come to him if need be, like the man. You can stand up. Come to him like the man in Mark, where they brought this child that was from a childhood. He was demonic depressed and thrown himself in the flame. All these things would happen, and the disciples couldn't cast him out. And Jesus said, only believe. And this wonderful scripture, he said, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. That's not a man that's doubting. That's a man that's saying, Lord, I really believe. I'm hungering for your word, but I'm looking at these circumstances, and they take my heart away, and I'm struggling with them, and I need some help. Help me get that knowledge that's in my head into my heart. I believe your word, and yet I'm struggling with the circumstances, Lord. Give me your wisdom. Now's a good time as we worship God to approach with just that attitude. Let's worship our God.